Hi guys, DJ Anita Buffum here. Listen, this message is for all my drag queens. I want to tell you about an amazing new app that I've been using on my phone, Drag My City. The Drag My City app is available for iPhone and Android devices and is the perfect way to let your fan base know where you're performing. Download the Drag My City app now, sign up as drag royalty, list your gig dates, and boom, you're good to go. It's so easy and the perfect way to reach drag fans all over. And the Drag My City app isn't just for drag queens. Are you a drag fan? Want to find out where the nearest drag show is playing in your city? Download the Drag My City app today. Free on iPhone and Android devices.
Command attention. Serve the face. Can't touch my body or my grace. I am the brand, custom fashioned, obsessed with beauty, visual passion. Faces sculpted by the hand of God. Sell the garment, baby, that's my job. Legendary as the golden age. Pain is beauty if you want to slay. Faces sculpted by the hand of God. Sell the garment, baby, that's my job. Legendary as the golden age. Pain is beauty if you want to slay.
Fame's new album, Beauty Mark.
I think it's my favorite.
All our
one.
Music curated by DJ Anita Buffum. It's a really good song.
Yeah.
I have to apologize if you're hearing the hum of a fan and the hum of the AC. It is a million degrees.
It's a scorcher day.
It is summer. This week, summer came with a vengeance here
yes,
in New York
did.
City. It is so hot. Welcome to House of Most of the Podcast. I'm Travis.
And I'm Steven.
And I am so excited every week. I know we've mentioned this before in the past, but mm-hmm. I'm just really excited every week our podcast numbers get better and better and better. And it's because of you guys sharing our podcast with people and telling your friends to listen and commenting on our social media. It really, really does help. And, you know, We're so excited about it.
And it makes us feel so good to know that there are people out there listening and and supporting.
And that we're not just doing this for ourselves.
We're not just two people being crazy in a room and just talking to
Hello,
each other.
Right? So last night, I was fortunate enough to perform for the Brooklyn Pride edition of Lola Starr's Dreamland Roller Disco, which is at Prospect Park at Brooklyn Lakeside.
I believe so. I think it's a beautiful park.
Oh, Prospect Park is gorgeous. I've never been to Prospect
been
Park
there.
Before. It's beautiful. Holla, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Astoria Park, you need to like...
Astoria Park looks like crap.
Astoria Park looks like a stone thrown into a pond.
Oh my God.
And Prospect Park looks like the ocean.
It looks awesome.
It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful park.
Beautiful.
It's huge.
Huge.
The aesthetic is gorgeous there.
Do you think it's bigger than Central Park?
I don't think it's bigger than Central Park, but it was very big. It made me think, wow, I had no idea that there was a park this large right outside of Manhattan.
Well, I know where I'm going to spend my summer.
And before we get into more of Anita's performance at the Roller Disco, I want to tell you about something. Audible.com. Summer is here, and what's a better way to relax than by listening to your favorite books on Audible? Whether it's poolside or at the beach or just in your car listening along, you can listen to Audible anywhere. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/HOMpodcast and choose from over 180,000 Audible programs. Download a free trial and start listening. It's that easy, guys. Go to audibletrial.com/HOMpodcast. That's audibletrial.com/HOMpodcast. And get started today. And by signing up for your free trial using audibletrial.com/HOMpodcast, not only do you get the free trial and the free audiobook, but you're helping support our podcast. So get on it now. What are you waiting for? And guys, I'm excited because on my Audible wish list right now, I have the Grey, 50 Shades of Grey, as told by Christian on there, and Yes Please by Amy Poehler, and Busy Pants by Tina Fey. So I'm really excited to get my summer off to a good start.
I mean, it's gorgeous.
Beautiful.
And they had the water, the huge thing that the people were playing in.
Yeah, what's...
What is that?
And what is the paddle, where you know, two people sit,
boats.
And then you can, move your feet. I love that.
What is that? What is it called where they have that, it's like a huge area that's like, I don't know what the surface is. I want to say cement. I didn't stand in it. But it has the water flying out there.
Oh,
it has
like
a couple inches of water.
Almost like water sprinklers.
Yeah, they come out of the ground. Oh my God, it's so...
I mean, that's a better way to do it than years ago when people used to open
slip
the
and
fire
slide.
Hydrant and in the streets of Astoria, Queens.
Did you have
or...
a slip and slide?
Of course.
Oh my God, I love slip and slide.
I had Crocodile Isle.
Oh yeah. You run, take a dive, hit the bump.
Whenever I hit that goddamn bump, I never landed in the pool. So I don't know what was going on, but I never could do it.
Where would you land?
I just would hit the bump and not ever go anywhere. The bump and stop.
Not enough inertia.
I
had, as a big boy, I had enough of her. I had so much inertia. I hit the bump, fly over the pool.
Well, we had it set up on our front lawn, but we had it like vertical, so we had to like kind of start by the street. So, and my mother was like, "Well, you can't go in the street," so we could never like run far enough to like get enough. I was always like,
funny.
"I can't go in the street. How am I gonna?"
That's funny. So, no, last night was so much fun, but I was so proud of myself because...
Yes, and I was proud of you, too.
Well, you know, as our listeners know, we've been kind of dabbling in the solo stuff.
Right.
So, if you're listening, feel free to email thehouseofmimosa@gmail.com to book the House of Mimosa, or you can book Anita or Gina Marie, you know, whichever you want.
For your next event.
Well, I love it because we both have such different interests, and, you know, you're more the theater Broadway, and I'm more, you know, the pop... Diva, fun stuff like that. So,
but
we do it all.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so when I got asked to do this event, it was like, you know, a little over a week before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, you know, sure, I can do this. Lola Starr's Dreamland Roller Disco. How fun.
It sounds like
How
the fun. Perfect thing
Prospect
for you.
Park, the Pride Edition for Brooklyn Pride. Yes.
Exactly.
Sign me up. I am there. So, I talked with multiple people. And who were running the event that kind of, I don't want to say that one didn't know what the other was doing, but I talked to multiple people, like had the same conversation with multiple people, you know?
Yes, I understand.
Okay, so then I end up talking to the Lola Starr.
Right.
Who, if you don't know Lola Starr, she started this roller disco out at Coney Island, and she has a shop on Coney Island, fun t-shirts she designs and stuff like that.
Fashions.
And now she has one out at Rockaway Beach. So she started this roller disco, and so I'm talking with her on the phone. She's like, so what are you planning on doing? And so I was like, well, I've got this song, or this song. And she's like, okay, well, that's a little contemporary. Now, mind you, this was like Tuesday afternoon, and the gig is on Friday. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I could do some other stuff. And she's like, well, you know, we play a lot of 80s. Do you do 80s? And I was like, well, I could. I sing live. So, and I explained to her that I sing live, and so I have to produce. I produce my own tracks mm-hmm. and record background vocals yeah. and harmonies.
It
and,
takes time.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I was thinking to myself, well, this will be good. I'm not going to say no. I'm going to say yes. And I'm going to try my freaking best.
That's
just
it.
Get it done. Get mm-hmm. it done. So they wanted me to perform two or three songs. And she's like, well, they're a little contemporary, so can you do 80s? I'm like, okay. Yes. She's like, well, you don't have to. But the music that you're saying that I was giving her, she's like, it's a little contemporary. But you don't have to do 80s. And I was like, okay. And she says, it just, your music doesn't go with what we do. Okay, so I'll do 80s. Okay, great. But, you know, I don't want you to have to do extra work. You know, if you can't do it, no big deal. You don't have to do it. It just doesn't, your music doesn't go.
It just doesn't
so
go.
So it's like she was saying, like you yeah. don't have to do it,
yeah.
but you better do it.
I think she was probably just letting you know that it might not fit with the night, but it would be a great performance
well,
no matter what.
You know, I work best under pressure,
yes,
and I work best on a deadline, so uh-huh. I was like, you know what? Let me just freaking do it. So I ended up choosing, and what's hardest for me is finding music I connect to.
Of course,
or,
and that's my problem too.
Well, not only connect to, but like, you know, that I'm excited by, and that my voice is good for, and...
There's a lot of elements.
There's so many elements. You know, we're not just putting on a track and lip-syncing, which...
No.
We've been doing in our shows recently
and it is
for fun,
it's
and
very
that's
tough.
Difficult too.
Very tough.
But our difficulties lie here, right? So mm-hmm. I locked myself away for 24 hours, produced the tracks, I ended up picking Video Killed the Radio Star
yes.
and Duran Duran's Girls on Film. Now,
fabulous choices for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm really excited by them. You know, the other thing was too, I was like, I don't want to pick. You know, some 80s music that I'm not going
to
continue to keep doing.
No, of course.
I
got to
pick something
that
you know, I was being paid well, but not well enough for me to do one, you know, these songs
one
time.
One track for one day.
Right, yeah.
Exactly.
So, I locked myself away. I got them done. But my problem is memorizing lyrics.
Mm.
So, literally, I mean, you were with me helping me. Like,
yeah.
literally, I'm getting dressed in the dressing room.
Trying to go
memorizing lyrics.
Yes.
And... I did all right. You know, I did okay. I was really proud of myself. It was 100 million degrees.
You did a great job.
The venue was outside. I come out for the sound check.
Oh, my God. The sound...
First, let me say, everybody was awesome.
Everyone was
they
amazing.
They treated me like a star.
Yes.
The parks people were great. The sound guy was great. Everyone was awesome. But...
The system was odd. You had speakers in well, every which way.
The reason the system was odd was because it was an outside venue, and I was the first live singer they ever had.
They ever had.
So they were not really set up for a live singer.
It's basically there just to play music and
background
have a DJ.
Music, right.
Yeah.
And so there's speakers all over this huge area of the park and at the rink, with the roller rink, which is, it's all outside. All of it's all outside. So I'm doing sound check and I'm like, I'm in the middle of the roller rink doing sound check and I'm looking at you and I'm like, I can't hear myself.
Yeah.
I can't.
And I'm like,
I
can hear it. You're on.
I couldn't hear my... But the problem was because there were speakers that were 50 feet away and speakers that were,
150 feet away, maybe?
Or further.
Yeah.
There was such a delay of the sound that it was like a huge echo. So I couldn't keep in time with the music.
Yes.
Like, I would sing my line and then my line would come back to me. Like after I finished the line, so I could not. It was
like the worst reverb you had ever heard.
You know, it. I ended up doing a good job, and you know, I kind of went in there like, all right, if I had more time, I know I would kill it. But I went in there, I strutted my stuff. I got escorted to the middle of the center of the disco roller rink.
Yes, honey.
Sang my number. People loved it, so it was fun. It was a million degrees.
hot.
You know, hot.
Humid. It was not even hot. It was humid.
Hot and humid. It was...
not great for a drag queen. It was the worst condition for a drag queen.
I can't... I'm trying to think in our lives if we've ever performed in a worse condition than that.
Not worse. I mean,
with the sound...
I mean, Central Park Summer Stage was hot.
But the sound was better.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm trying to think, have we ever performed in a situation where so many things were against us?
I'm sure we have, but we just can't recall. Probably in the
very beginning. I know we've had issues like where they're like, oh yeah, you'll have a place to get ready, no worries.
Oh.
And then we show up and it's like, just head out back, step outside and there's a dumpster.
Yeah.
Step behind the dumpster, you get ready there. Like literally that kind of thing has happened to us. I can't think of a worse performance opportunity. Well, then there was a time we got hired on Fire Island.
Yeah, and that
Wait, this is my favorite
story.
This is my favorite. And again, we loved working with everyone
out
there.
Oh my God, so
fun. It was great.
But, you know, sometimes just people don't understand what your needs are. And you
know. Well, I think the thing is, you know, they know we're drag queens. People know we're drag queens. And then a lot of people have this preconceived notion of exactly what drag is.
True.
And drag is so all-encompassing now.
Yeah, now it's anything you make it.
Right. So we're live singers, and I don't think live singing is the first thing you think of when you think of drag queens.
No, probably not.
So we show up to Fire Island, this was the Pines, who was so excited to have us because we sing live.
And we were so excited to be there.
How awesome. We get there, there's no sound system. None. Not a microphone, not a speaker, not nothing.
There were speakers, but they were restaurant speakers, so it was literally just for
audio. But we had nothing
audio.
To plug into, really.
No,
we couldn't
it was
sing.
Just audio.
There was no microphones.
It was literally background, like, music sound.
And I'll never forget, it was at one of the restaurants there, and I said to the woman who was managing it, you know, we sing live. And she was like, well, can't you just lip sync? And I looked her dead in the eye, and I was like, can you half manage your restaurant? Yeah. Like, what? What?
I'll never get over it. I mean, everyone was... After we got over that first hiccup that
well,
day, it got better.
Hey, I don't like to toot my own horn, but I'm a smart cookie.
Yeah.
And I said, let's bring as much of our sound stuff as we can. We have two, like, backpacks of sound stuff.
Yeah.
That is everything that you would need except for speakers, which is, you know, obviously we couldn't carry those across the island.
No, of course
to the
not.
Island with us.
Jeez.
So I was like, listen, get us some speakers. I've got all of our own sound stuff here. We'll plug in. Thank God we did
well,
that.
Well, I mean, we were very smart long ago to know that because we sing live, we need to have the right kind of equipment.
Right. So we own all our own sound equipment,
yeah.
Which I think, you know, I mean, it allows us to do a lot of private
Plus,
events.
Yeah.
You know, it allows us to do parties and things like that that don't come set up with that.
No.
And here's a tip for performers out there. Find those things that like that can help make you more valuable. You know, we just booked a gig recently for an event, and we were able to put a charge on our fee for our sound equipment. So, you know, they would have to rent sound equipment, which would cost them anywhere up to $1,000.
Yeah, at least.
And so we can roll that into our cost, you know? And
it makes us more valuable as an entertainment package,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it allows for us to do much more.
Yeah.
It allows for us to do
Which
so
is
much
so
more.
Much fun.
Because, baby, now we got bad blood. You know it used to be mad love. So take a look what you've done. Because, baby, now we got bad blood.
Hey, I can't take it back. Look where I'm at. We was OD like DOC, remember that. My DOC was quite OD, ID my facts. Now POV of you and me, similar Iraq. I don't hate you, but I hate to critique, overrate you. These beats of a dark heart use bass lines to replace you. Take time and erase you. Love don't hear no more, no, I don't fear no more. But I get respect and quite sincere no more.
Oh, it's so sad to think about the good times, you and I. Cause baby, now we got bad blood. You know it used to be mad love. So take a look what you've done. Cause baby, now we got bad blood. Hey! Now we got problems. And I don't think we can solve them. You made a really deep cut. And baby, now we got bad blood.
Hey! Remember when you tried to write me off? Remember when you thought I'd take a loss? Don't you remember you thought that I would need you? Follow procedure, remember? Oh wait, you got amnesia? It was my season for battle wounds, battle scars, body bump, bruise, stabbed in the back, brimstone fire jumping through. Still all my life I got money and power, and you gotta live with the bad blood now.
Oh, it's so
just for show. If you live like that, you live with ghosts.
You forget, but you never let it go.
Band-aids don't fix bullet holes. You say sorry just for show. If you live like that, you live with ghosts. If you love like that.
Honey, have a coffee. I put your creamer in there. I know you like it.
Oh, thank you, honey. I really need it today. Oh!
Oh, Jesus, honey. No. All over you.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. All over you.
Oh, honey. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
I need
God.
A towel.
All right. Maria, pour before the towels. Pour before,
Maria.
Honey, pour before the towels, please, Maria.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Honey, this just ain't my day.
Oh, honey. Oh, you got something in your teeth.
Oh, no. Where?
Is it? Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no. That's just your tooth.
Oh.
Now, give a seat. Sit down.
Oh, thank you, honey.
Yeah, have
God,
a seat.
I've been on my feet all day.
All right.
Oh!
Oh, God, the chair!
Jesus Christ! What
oh, my God.
Me? I can't believe myself.
Honey, that's my good folding chair.
Oh, honey, I'm
oh,
so
God,
sorry.
Oh, God, is it broken?
I can't believe it.
I told you gained weight.
Oh, no, I must have,
oh,
honey.
Oh, my God. Come, well, come, I guess you can sit over here on this chair. All right.
Oh, no.
Well, hold on. Let me hear Maria put a towel down. Maria, pour before a towel, please.
Oh, my God, I'm soaking
Maria,
wet.
Maria, pour before a towel.
Honey,
oh
I just don't understand it.
Oh,
I mean,
geez.
This whole day has been, like, taboo.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I don't know how you do it, honey.
What do you mean?
I mean, you've always been lucky.
Well, yeah.
I mean, everything good has always happened to you.
Yeah.
I mean, I had no luck whatsoever.
No, it's true.
None. None. You were Miss Can, you were a Little Miss Italian League beauty pageant 5 years in a row.
5 years
winner.
In a row, yeah.
Oh, my
Miss
God.
Grand Supreme.
You were able to, you know, win Miss Prom.
Well, oh, honey. Hello, of course I'd win
well,
the prom queen.
Of course, and you weren't even a senior. And you know, and then marrying two excellent husbands in your lifetime.
Well, it's true. Right. Charlie Rondinelli and you know, my
Hello.
Second husband, Dr. Mr. Buffett.
Oh, God, and I can barely get one good one in, you know.
Well, it's all right, honey.
Well, you know, what are you going to do? Honey, I mean, you've just always been very lucky in life.
It's true.
I don't understand it. I mean, what's your thing? I don't get it.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you do, honey? Do you go to yogas? Do you...
Well, no, you know me, honey. I don't like much physical activity. And
yeah.
And look at me. I don't really need exercise. I'm
no.
gorgeous as it is.
God, I wish I had that talent.
But you know what my secret is? Alex the Medium.
Alex the Medium?
Honey, he's fabulous.
The one who was on our podcast
yes,
about a week
honey.
Or two ago.
Yes, honey.
Yeah.
You gotta go to alexthemedium.com. Book yourself a session with him.
Okay.
Mention House of Mimosa. He gives you $25 off, and I know how you poor people love that.
Well, true. I need it.
But it is so fabulous, especially when you have a block in your life.
Oh, God.
You call him up. You Skype him. If you're in the New York City area, you can even meet with him face-to-face.
Oh.
And you can do an hour session. You gotta do an hour session to start.
Oh, well, of course.
And
I
for
mean...
returning clients, he does half hours. So if you're busy and you're on the go, you can just do a quick 30-minute tune-up.
Oh, look at
He's
that.
So fantastic. You sit down. He helps unblock all the blockage you might have. And, you know, I know you've got a lot of blockage.
Oh, hello, honey. I didn't realize he could do enemas.
Well, I don't know about enemas.
Oh.
But, you know, he's there to help you unblock yourself spiritually, emotionally.
Oh, spiritually.
And get yourself on track.
Spiritually?
Yes, honey.
Oh, all right. Well, I, you know. All
you
right.
know, I actually used Cialis about once a week. You
of
know,
course.
My therapist. I
oh.
used to see Cialis.
Oh, yeah.
But I told Cialis that I wasn't going to see her anymore, that I was switching over to Alex the Medium.
Of course, who needs her?
Who needs her?
No, now you have Alex
what
the Medium.
What has she got, an education? It's nothing.
Please, she barely has a good reputation.
That's it. Now listen, you got to go email him right away.
All right.
alexthemedium@gmail.com.
Oh.
Book a session with him and make sure you mention in your email House of Mimosa.
Of course.
And
get
he'll
$25
off.
Perfect. I'm going to do it right now.
Well, you know we like to have special guests as often as possible.
Yes.
And I'm really excited about this guest. His name is Craig Stickyor from one of my favorite blogs, Keeping Up With The Costumes.
Thank you.
Which This is funny because you tell me it was kind of a newish thing, but I feel like I've been following you for a long time the costumes.
It was a personal project to begin with.
Okay.
Let's start there.
How this became a blog.
Okay, so I'm going to introduce where this comes from.
Yeah.
I don't have a closet of costumes that I pull things out into.
Right. Yeah, because I was always like, God, where is he getting these costumes from? So, if you guys haven't seen it yet, keeping up with the costumes, you can go to tdfcc.tumblr.com.
Yes, and if you Google keeping up with the costumes, it's like the third thing from keeping up with the Kardashians.
Right after Caitlyn Jenner.
Exactly.
Right below Caitlyn Jenner.
So, I work for a costume rental warehouse, which is the TDF Costume Collection. And TDF stands for Theater Development Fund, which is a larger company that runs things like the TKTS booth. They do autism-friendly performances for kids, school performances, and one other
part. What would make something autism-friendly, I wonder?
That could be a whole other
show.
No
flashing lights.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe puppets.
It's very sweet. I actually volunteer for that. And that could be a whole other episode if you want.
Well, can I tell you something so funny? I'll never forget this. One time a friend and I were with another friend that we had just kind of come to know, who's a little bit older, has kids, right? And he was showing us something, driving us around, so I can't remember, but he was talking about his kids, and he said, yeah, one of his kids is autistic. And my friend thought he said artistic. And he was like, oh, what does he do, like drawings and stuff? And the guy was like, yeah, sometimes, yeah, he does. And my friend was like, well, what does he do, like, in the, you know, he's like, well, no, he's autistic. And my friend was like, right, does he do, like, paintings? Oh, my God.
He plays Billy Joel without any sheet music.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
Yes, he's
a real kid out there.
No,
okay, I'm sorry.
But no, the TDF Costume Collection is where I work, and I've worked for the last 4 years. I'm the receptionist, so if you come in, I'm the first face that you usually see.
Well, you're really the face that matters.
I am the face of the costume collection. I control it all. No, my boss will love that. I have worked there 4 years. I'm not a costume designer, but I like costumes. I guess I should start when I was a kid.
Yeah, how did you get into it?
As we all do, we dress up in our mother's clothes.
Well, and some of us more than others.
And now some of us make a living doing it.
Exactly, yeah. Which I love.
And I went to college for just general theater and a BA, and I found myself drawn to the costume department. You kind of have to do the work, you know, either craft, you know, stage work. Mm-hmm. And I like putting clothes on people and taking them off. So I kind of wanted to be a dresser. I graduated college and I was applying for jobs and, you know, applying to temp jobs, anything that would hire me. It was 2009, so it was the height of the recession and we were all very sad. And I got this interview at the TDF Costume Collection, which I'd heard about for years. This place where if you're doing a show, you go and get costumes. And I went, and you can't see this, but I have a tattoo on my arm.
A gorgeous tattoo.
It's beautiful.
Of a Broadway performer who's passed away named Anita Morris, and she was in this show called Nine.
Well, you were telling me the story earlier, and I don't know. Did you know
the story? Well, I know the musical, but I didn't know the actress.
Tell the story, because I think it's fascinating.
Okay. So, for those of you familiar with Nine is a musical version of Fellini's 8½.
And there was a horrible movie that was done recently.
But Penelope Cruz was good, and tough on the people who have taken over Anita.
Yes,
the lady on my arm, Anita
one of
Morris.
The better.
So Anita Morris played her on Broadway.
The original run.
And in the movie it was
Penelope Cruz.
Penelope Cruz. Yes. Okay.
And in it was a very stylized William Ivey Long costumes, all black. And in it, she was supposed to be the lead character's mistress who's always seducing him. And he designed this costume that I became fascinated with when I got the album when I was like 14, flipping through the liner notes, and they had this photo of all the ladies, and she was in the front looking naked, except she had this black body stocking that had this like fleur-de-lis kind of design.
Mm-hmm.
And I just fell in love with her. I fell in love with the costume. And 10-something years ago, I decided in a memoriam to her, because she's passed away in 1994,
mm-hmm.
I would get her tattooed to represent how much I love her and how much I love costumes. Now, I said I'm not a designer, so I couldn't tell you what period it's from, but mm-hmm. I loved it. And I went to apply for the TDF Costume Collection, and I had no real experience in costume design.
But you had a love for it.
I did, and
yeah.
I brought her up. I said, there's a lady underneath my shirt right now. I'm not going to show you until the second interview. And I got that second interview. And my boss, who has worked for the costume collection for 20-something years, sat me down and said, you have no experience, but you have this tattoo. Can I see it? And I showed him. And he said, you have something that is genuine. And it takes someone to get a tattoo like that who is obviously dedicated to the craft of theater, to the craft of costumes. I didn't get the job. Okay. But 3 months later, I got called to do part-time work. And I said, yes, I would love it.
For them.
For them.
Yep.
And the next day, their receptionist decided she was leaving. And he offered me the job. And I said, please and thank you.
Uh-huh.
And so I started working there. And
things happen for a reason.
Exactly. And that's how I've always said it for this especially. And every day during my lunch hour, I would go into our stock. And we have two stocks. We have regular stock and special stock. And special stock is more one-of-a-kind costumes. And I would go back there and I would find a dress, take it off the rack, hang it on, you know, like just on like the edge of the aisle and take a photo and post it on my Facebook. And I would call it Dress a Day. Mm-hmm. And slowly it got likes and, you know, I would just do it every day. One day I would do dress and some people would be like, why aren't you doing more? Why? I want more dresses. And I said, well, wait, you know, I'm not planning on going anywhere. And about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I was approached by one of my coworkers who was like, we're trying to do more social media. Why don't you make that into a Tumblr?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, really? Okay, sure. And they're like, you can do it a little more professionally, put it on a dress form, you know, give a little description of what you think about it.
Or the history of it.
Yeah, the history of it, who wore it, if it's from something, if it's vintage.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, we don't need you to analyze it. Don't have to give facts. Just give your own opinion. And that's kind of how it was born.
Uh-huh.
And it's been, you know, I guess 4 years in the making. And it's really only launched, I guess it's only really coming up on the year anniversary in September.
That you've been kind of doing it through your work.
Yes, through my work. And
but you've been doing it for all that time beforehand.
Yes,
because it was your passion and you just wanted to and you were doing it on Facebook.
To me, it's a learning experience. I don't know if I said this, but we have 80,000 costumes, pieces.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. We have stuff from the Metropolitan Opera to someone's grandmother passed away and she just was alive during the 40s and had a bunch of 40 dresses. We've had like, you know, Broadway shows that have closed, off-Broadway shows that have closed. Often enough, a lot of companies that rent from us will donate costumes after their show's done with some extra stuff that they built. And I kind of started to grow and learn through posting it. And often enough, a big question for us is, I'm looking for such and such from the 1920s. Do you have this? And I say, yes, we do, but you have to come in and look. And they say, can't you just send me a photo? And normally I say, no, you have to come in and look.
Great.
And for a long time, it's always kind of a deal breaker. They don't have time. And this Tumblr, in a way, is sort of me helping the costume collection categorize.
Yeah.
Or like at least given. I've had several customers in the last couple months, and this has only been running for less than a year, come in and they're like, I'm looking for this dress. I saw it on your Tumblr. And I'm all timid.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh, well, that's so cool. You saw the Tumblr. I never say like, it's my project.
Right.
But it really means a lot that like, it is, people are seeing it.
And social media is very big right now. And having you doing this is making a whole new face for this
exactly.
company.
Yeah. Yeah. We just moved to Astoria 3 years ago. We used to be in Manhattan in this building that's very fashion. It used to not be fashion, and now it is, and we got kicked out because it was too high.
Uh-huh.
So we're now in the Kaufman Astoria Studios.
Oh, what a perfect place for you.
Exactly. It's been
if you guys don't know Kaufman Astoria Studios, if you visit New York or live in New York, you should really head out to Astoria, Long Island City, and check out the Kaufman Astoria Studios. There's the Museum of Moving Image there.
Yes.
Some cute restaurants. What is it? The Astor Room?
Yes.
Oh,
the old Hollywood style.
Oh, my God. It's so cute. And please check out Kaufman Astoria Studios if you're in New York City area or if you're visiting. It's great.
And if you're a fan of TV, Orange the New Black is filmed there.
Yep.
Nurse Jackie just filmed there.
Yep.
And Sesame Street has been there for the last 20 years.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to get off on a tangent. Did I hear that you can take a tour of the Sesame Street studios?
If you, can, I haven't been invited.
I'm like, incredible. I have to get there. I tell you, we went and saw the Muppet exhibit when it was there, and I did not realize how emotionally connected I was to the Muppets.
Oh my God.
I was like crying.
You know there's a permanent exhibit coming in there too.
I heard this.
Yes,
I heard
it's reopening very soon.
Yes.
I know.
I know exactly. You're like, oh yeah, I have such an emotional connection. But yeah, so we're there now. So it's actually a nicer space to be in because there are films being filmed around us. Granted, not necessarily they come in with their own wardrobe.
Right.
But if a show ends and it's like, oh, we have a bunch of, you know, it's a period show, they'll hopefully think of us first because we are
you're right there.
Only donation-based. Mm-hmm. So we take whatever anyone wants to give us. We don't really take contemporary stuff, but we take anything from the 1980s backward.
Okay.
Be it from a high school production to, as I said, a Broadway show that's closed to my grandmother has passed away.
Uh-huh. So if people want to donate to you, how can they do that?
They call me. Mm-hmm. And we work from there. We're mainly like, we're only a staff of 6 people.
Okay.
Wow, okay.
So I'm one of the 6. And everyone has their role. So we aren't necessarily, I'm sorry if, you know, it's a personal thing. You might have to drop it off. You can't get
out. Right.
You can ship it to us.
Uh-huh.
It's really, and we offer you a tax letter.
Well, I think what a great thing, because you mentioned that these costumes get used for theater companies that may not have tons of money to like get their production going, and it just what a great resource for the arts to have.
It is. Yeah. It's you know, and I'm always glad when someone comes in and they're extra grateful because you know we do have a price for not-for-profit theaters, churches, schools. If you're a not-for-profit, you're more than welcome to rent from us. It gets a little trickier if you're not. We do rent for artistic projects that we call a commercial rental, but we don't rent for parties or, doing an event where I need people to dress up.
Right.
We're more than welcome. And, you know, sometimes even the not-for-profit pricing is a little too high for people. And we have to cover our own costs.
Right. So, yeah.
And these costumes are top of the line. You know, they come from theater houses and other post-productions.
But it still has to be more cost-effective than them designing,
exactly,
buying the materials and having them made and constructed themselves.
Sure.
Like, for example, we started in the 60s with the Metropolitan Opera. And if you've ever seen an opera at the Metropolitan Opera, those costumes are no joke.
Yeah, hello.
No,
they
sure.
are meant to survive a nuclear explosion. Like, they've been around, and we got those first. So in our special stock, usually, and even our regular stock, there are these Elizabethan gowns.
Oh, yeah.
These Tudor gowns that are just incredible and built to be worn for 5,000 performances without, you know, really ever getting broken. And then we've kind of grown from there, and we have famous people, which is always fun for the Tumblr.
I get a real kick
out
of that because I love seeing, you know, post-Broadway shows that are on there. And
are you allowed to talk about what famous people's costumes
you have? I can give you a few, yes.
A few?
Tell us.
We have to be careful. It's like I work for the CIA
sometimes.
Gives me chills, though.
Like, for example, one of my favorite pieces is this little actress. I don't know if you know who she is. Patti LuPone.
Just a little
Patti LuPone.
She was in this production of Gypsy.
I'm not familiar.
Yeah.
Probably the best production.
Exactly. I saw it like 3 times. Where the late Marty Pakladinez, who passed away a couple years ago, designed it. And we have one of her coats. And I think it's one of the coats that she wears when she's yelling at Laura Bonatti.
Oh, sure.
And I just love it. I just want to wear it all the time because you could just sense the power of it. And it's, you know, to be close up to these costumes, you're like, you see the detail. You see the period. You see, like, these buttons aren't just any buttons. They're buttons that would be there. We have a couple Patti LuPone things floating in.
You know, Stephen was in the audience the famous night that Patti LuPone
stopped the production. Stop taking pictures!
I saw it the next night. I was so jealous.
That was the closing.
Closing. And I was like, I wish I'd been there the night before.
Oh, it was incredible.
And then our big
claim. I'll never, ever forget that.
Yeah.
Our big claim to fame is that we get to say Patti LuPone opened for us.
That's right.
Not really.
Well, at 54 Below.
We were doing a night at 54 Below, and she had her show right before us. So, yeah.
You know what? People use that all the time.
But we escorted her on stage.
Jackie Hoffman did that same bit because she's like, Patti opened for me.
Yes.
I love that.
She was very nice. I'll never forget this.
Incredible.
We may have told this on the podcast before, so if you've heard it, I'm sorry. But It was an incredible night. We were getting ready, and in the dressing rooms, the AC had stopped working on the floor that the dressing rooms were in. And
very hot.
It was so hot. So hot. And of course, we're getting into full drag. Yeah. It's really hot. And her assistant came into our dressing room and said, Miss Lapone would like you to join her in her dressing room where we've brought in our own two of our own AC units.
Of course.
And best she was like, yeah, girls, come on in. Oh, you know, like, God, I was like,
that's amazing.
And we said to her, how do you keep your voice so strong? She goes, I got vocal cords of leather. Vocal cords of leather.
I don't know, I've always done it.
Yeah, I've always had these voices, this voice.
It was, I literally was shaking. That theater student in me just was shaking.
Can I share my private part?
Yes,
please.
Well, while I was in college for costume design, I took a costume design class, and I'm not a great designer, but our final project was to make a pillow. And I decided, and we had to incorporate some technique, and I decided to do applique, and I made a pillow of Ava Perón's face on the pillow.
Of course you did.
And it had gotten lost, and I had to redo it.
Oh, no.
And it just so happened that she was opening on Broadway in Poughkeepsie, so I waited for an hour and a half for her to come out with this pillow. That is, if you saw it, you'd be like, is that Patti LuPone's face? And I just remember her face. She's like, what do I say? Like, and I said, could you please sign it and just say, don't cry for me, Craig? And she did. It was amazing.
Oh,
so I have
great.
That hidden away.
She's actually very wonderful when you meet her. And she's so gracious to all the people that stand out in line to, you know, support after the show. It's she's just wonderful.
Okay, so you have Patti LuPone. What else?
Speaking of drag, one of our biggest friends who donates to us is Charles Bush.
Oh, he's
from the productions that he always does.
Yes, and he's a very good friend of the director.
Please check out Charles Bush, Google him, and I think Netflix has Die Mommy Die.
Probably somewhere.
Which is
at least Wigstock is out there.
Oh, well,
yeah.
He's in Wigstock, which we just talked about recently.
And he's
check it out.
So nice, and he gives us what I love about it, because we actually do have a couple drag queen size costumes, because he will donate us this fabulous 50s gown from his Die Mommy Die or, you know, whatever. And it's this beautiful gown. And you'll be like, wait, no woman could wear this. It's built for a man. And I kind of love that because, you know, it doesn't go out much, but it's just there and it's beautiful. Let's see. Who else do we have? We have another lesser known actress, just kidding, named Betty Buckley.
Oh, yes.
Who is... I'm a big fan of. And we... Oh, going back to Gypsy. We have every Gypsy costume. She was in Gypsy at Paper Mill Playhouse in the
90s. Yes. We heard about that.
And we have one of her costumes. It's, you know, in slight disrepair because it's been several years, but just the fact that it's Betty Buckley and Gypsy, it's there and it has her name in the tag. Another one is Alice Ripley, Tony Award winner Alice Ripley. She was in a unfortunate production of Little Shop of Horrors in Florida.
And it never came
to... They got rid of everyone in it, designers, actors, but we got it. And we have this fabulous 60s raincoat that Audrey apparently wore that says Miss Alice Ripley in it.
I would have loved to have seen her do that on Broadway.
Oh my God, I would have too. And she sings in her cabaret.
I mean, Carrie Butler was fantastic, but I would have loved to
see
her.
Oh my God, I think, if anything, I've done this research because when I post about it, that's the thing is if I get a famous outfit, I'll like go back and I'll hunt it down and look. She got great reviews. It was the whole production
it was
that unfortunately
just the production
didn't.
That didn't do
they
well.
Said she was a Cupid doll, you know, slash... Audrey, she was perfect, but unfortunately they decided to go a different route. But we got the costumes, and it was I think it was like, I don't want to name the wrong designer, so I can't remember.
Yeah.
So can people just come in and look at the costumes?
We're always happy to have people come in. I actually will tell most of our potential customers, if you can make the time, come in. Because there's a lot of people who come in and think, oh, I can come in here in the next hour, pull my show. Everything we have is written up by hand. That's how we categorize it.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll think, oh, in an hour I can come and pull it, check out, and be done. It takes usually at least a half hour to 45 minutes just to write up costumes if you're not even doing a big show. So I'm always like, please come in if you can, just to get a feel of what to look for. Also, people, unfortunately, we get everything from professional designers to school moms who are doing, you know, a show and they don't have the budget and they're just doing it for their kids.
Of course.
We think they come in and say, I'm looking for a size small Annie dress. It's not that. You have to actually size everything. You have to go through it. And
it's very specific.
And I think I said 80,000 pieces is a lot of pieces, even if you're doing the most boring of shows.
How do you guys keep it all organized?
By either era. or type of item.
So if I came in and I said, I want a size small Annie dress, how would you direct me?
We say, well, Annie specifically, we have two Annie dresses that are like top rack. Uh-huh. But if you said I'm doing Oliver,
okay,
which is actually a very popular show this year, you know, we don't have an Oliver section. We have a distressed section for okay. the poor kids. We have, you know, the era that Oliver is set in, we have that section, but it's all by type of, it's just by type of dress that looks.
Mm-hmm.
We often say that we will categorize it not by necessarily what it is, but what it would go out for.
Okay.
So like, there's this dress that was used in A Little Night Music that has Asian print all over it.
Okay.
It's not going to be in the, you know, the time period of Little Night Music. It's going to be in our ethnic Asian section. It will go out more for that.
I see.
And, you know, we have a lot of, you know, people who are doing background for movies will call us
uh-huh.
because they'll get stuff that may not be period specific, but have the silhouette.
Right.
Two of our most famous things this year are a lot of background costumes for 12 Years a Slave were actually from us.
Oh, wow.
Distinctly, there's masks at a party at one point that are definitely from us. They're sun masks. You can see, and I like flipped out when I saw them. I was like, those are us. And then what just won this year? Birdman.
Right.
Birdman.
Oh, Birdman.
They
that
came
so
to
awesome.
Us and rented a bunch of costumes. It was also partly filmed in Kaufman Astoria Studios. And so there's like, you know, pieces here and there because it's in the theater world. They needed like posters for, you know, they needed photos for like the costumes that they wore on stage and stuff like that.
Right.
That's interesting.
It's kind of funny that both those won Best Oscar, but without us, they wouldn't have the background costumes that they did. So it's a kind of our like little claim to fame that we're
I love
like
it.
That's costuming
so great.
Oscar
now,
shows.
How do you keep your blog going? Like, I know now, obviously it's something that your work has wanted you to take on as a job for your job.
Yeah.
But when you were doing it all that time before, what was your inspiration to just, you know, keep doing it?
We're going to get into what motivates Craig in just a minute, but I wanted to take a hot second to let you know how much we all appreciate you listening to our show and following us on our social networks. Our listeners and our fans are what keep us going, and we'd love it if you could take a second to share us with your friends or post about our show on your social media. We'd love some new subscribers. We also love your feedback and hearing from you. Take a second and write a quick review on our iTunes page to let everyone know what you love about House of Mimosa, the podcast. Have a topic you want us to cover? Suggestions for a new guest? A song you want DJ Anita B to play? Let us know on our Facebook or our Instagram using hashtag HOMPodcast. Thanks again so much for all your support, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube pages, youtube.com/SundayMorningMimosa and youtube.com/BuffumBeautiful. Remember to live your passion and smile at a stranger. You never know whose day you're going to make.
Diamond. swallow, you'll be icing out my pockets. Wait up, 100% carbon. Shape up, straight up, crystals in the garden.
Give our listeners the lesson of the week.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of times it's really hard that even if you love something to keep up with it or even think, well, why am I even doing this? Does anybody care? Or like, you know, like
as I might have said earlier, it kind of it keeps me going. It's something I really look forward to. It's something I like sharing it with the world. What created this was the fact that I would post a photo and a lot of my friends would be like, I love this. Where is this? You know, what is this? What is that? Some people would want me to post more than one. And it's just the fact that like I'll go through the stock and someone like me who doesn't necessarily know squat about costumes and has learned as the years have gone on how to identify, I'll pull out, you know, these certain costumes from certain eras and I'll think they're amazing. Like one of my favorites is, this is kind of a complicated history, but there's in our Elizabethan section, there's this costume that is made out of drapery, like couch material.
Okay.
And it's
very
from
sturdy.
It's from a production of Rags, which was a musical about immigrants in the 1900s who go to see a Yiddish production of Hamlet. That is on a butt, you know, poor people have done. So it's a woman who designed, I know her, it's Carrie Robbins. She designed it and she had to think like, I'm doing a production of Hamlet in the early 1900s with a Yiddish theater company that doesn't have money. And it's not at all anything you would ever seen to someone in the Elizabethan era ever, wherever. But like sharing that to me is one of my favorite things because it's like, look at this history that's here. I'm a big historian.
And it's so specific.
Yeah.
Like here she is using upholstery for this garment.
Yeah.
You know?
Like another one of my favorites is they did a production of Mame in Paper Mill Playhouse in New Jersey years ago. And Kelly Bishop, who was in the original chorus line, she played Vera, Mame's counterpart, the drunk.
Was that what Christine ever saw?
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. And she wore this. David Mirren designed this dress that was a throwback to, and I'm going to butcher the name, the designer's. Gaparelli. It's like this beautiful woman, sequin woman, that's like, look, because the character sings about looking at the moon. And it's like this woman looking up to the moon, and it's just something you'll never see, especially from this famous designer, and I'm sorry I butchered their name, but if you Google, like, you'll never see those pieces anywhere else, besides maybe at the Met once every 10 years.
Right.
But here we have someone who's styling like that.
Right, well, that's what's so great about your company, because it's almost like a museum for art, because costume designing and costume construction is an art.
Yes. There's this show that the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And we got a call looking for, what do they call those wives? Quaker women.
The wives,
And, you know, we couldn't rent it for that long. We don't do, like, we won't rent for a full year. And they needed it for a full year, at least 9 months.
Uh-huh.
But they came in, rented some of the dresses that we had, that style, and just looked at the construction of it and built it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we have that often happen. People will come in just to research because they're doing a show in
That's
a certain
wonderful.
Era to go in to see. And, you know, sometimes it's not built properly, but, you know, you could at least see where the seams go.
The structure of it.
It is a museum, but it's not because
right.
we want, often enough when people donate older stuff to us, they'll say to us, we're donating this to you. It's very valuable. Will you promise me that no one will use it? And we're like, no. It's got
to
go into stock.
Yeah,
I'm sorry that you loved your mother's fur coat from the 40s. but someone's going to love it too for their production right. because it's going to be perfect.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, there are certain pieces that we do get. Like, for example, like the famous people I just listed
yeah.
don't norm. Like, Alice Ripley's Coat you can rent. Patti LuPone's you can't. That's a special one, unfortunately. Betty Buckley's you can rent. But, like, we have Nell Carter's Ain't Misbehavin' dresses. And I mean, we have everyone. We have from the Broadway production to the revival that they did to the tour. And they get a little bigger as the years go on. We don't rent those because those are, A, it's Nell Carter. I don't know if you, no one else but Nell Carter can wear those.
Yes.
But also just to show, like, these are these dresses from this Broadway production that, you know, were in a style of the 30s, you know, or 40s, and they're here. And like,
but we they're there to be looked at by people, and who knows if they'll be inspired to
yeah.
make a dress similar for their production.
Exactly, yeah. But we do have some stuff from Ain't Misbehavin' that you can rent, but mm-hmm. Nell Carter, she's off limits.
We're not going to touch Nell Carter.
Yeah, no one's going to touch Nell Carter.
Let's not touch Nell Carter.
Give her a break.
Like, for example, we also have, which is not fully open to the public yet, and hopefully someday it will be, is a library. And we have wall-to-wall books, reference books, that have been donated to us from different people over the years that I hope someday it will be open. It's also a matter of figuring out, because it's in a different part of the studio, making sure, you know, someone's there so no one... I mean, it's
right,
tempting
right.
to take
so
these books.
So based on costuming and fashion...
Yeah, just everything.
And, okay.
I mean, people have donated... Some of the most famous designers have donated their research books.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Like, as I said, the late Marty Pakladinez was a genius, and Google him. That man donated right before, because he knew he was going to pass away, donated all his books to us.
Wow.
Which is so moving, because that's a Tony Award winning designer.
Yeah.
And he's giving back to the community.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know what? And I'm hoping someday it is, you know, open. And hopefully it will be. And it will help people immensely just coming in and, like, researching it.
Well, look at how all the good you're doing by doing something you love and putting it out there for people to see.
It's
like, not only were you doing something that made you feel fulfilled and doing it because you loved it,
yeah.
it then caught the attention of where you work for you to do it more professionally, and now is reaching who, God knows where, in whatever part of the world.
It's amazing to me. And, you know, like, every time, because, you know, Tumblr lets you track everything, every time someone hearts, you know, like, likes it,
uh-huh.
yeah.
it really touches me, because I'm like, oh my God, someone's watching.
Well, let's give the site again.
That's right. So it's tdfcc.tumblr.com.
tdfcc.tumblr.com.
And keeping up with the costumes is the title of the Tumblr. We had to use TDF-CC because it's part of the
for
company.
Work. Uh-huh.
You know, and if I ever were to leave there, I would hope someone would have the passion to keep it going. But this
do you
is,
think you would do your own costume blog outside of that?
I sometimes think about that, like, because I currently live right down the street from where I work.
Yeah.
And I know that they know me, and they probably want to, you know,
yeah.
I will worry about that when I get
right.
to that point. For right now, it's going strong. I'm trying to keep, you know, just so you know, I'm going to Fire Island next week, so there's going to be 3 days that there won't be posts, but it's still going. It is still going.
Even you need a break.
Yeah, yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
But I'm hoping that I keep going. And, you know, I'm up to almost 300 costumes that I photographed.
That's
300 more than a year and a half ago you could find online.
Right.
You know? So it's helped people. It's
yeah.
really helped people. And I'm happy. And, you know, like, someone the other day reblogged to the Tumblr being like, keeping up with the costumes isn't the only one who loves a sequiny top. Who doesn't? And I was like, oh my God, someone's calling me out, like saying,
uh-huh.
we're with you. We love
yeah, yeah.
sequin tops too.
Yeah.
I love them. We love them. And it made me feel really good.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, no, it's, and you know, my boss is, as I tell him it gets a little more popular, he's kind of like hinting that he's going to pull out some of the more big guns, famous people things, because he knows
you
it gets
should.
Oh,
it's
don't
gonna,
worry.
It's going to catch the eye of the people
exactly.
who are looking, and it's going to create more followers and
exactly.
more people that will know about this costume place and know about TDF.
And I love Tumblr, but you know what? Once you put hashtag Patti LuPone, hashtag Betty Buckley, all of a sudden, Alice Ripley, thank you for being in that production, because that got me the most retweets and
well,
like
I mean that was a big controversy when it didn't come to Broadway.
Exactly.
So for people to look, see that and be like, oh my God, this is the actual costume
exactly
piece?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's like, and so I'm hoping in the future there will be some nice little,
well,
like,
honey, I'm gonna have to donate an Anita Buffum costume.
Exactly.
Hashtag Anita Buffum.
Exactly.
Yes, honey.
A vintage piece.
Yeah, that's right.
But also, what I do want people, if you are following, is to kind of write back to me. Tell me what you want. Like, I would love people to demand that I get more, as I said, Elizabethan, more Tudor-style stuff. Because we do have it. I'm sort of afraid of it. Because it's kind of intimidating. You'll notice.
So people could, like, comment on your Tumblr? Or how can they?
They can send messages. They can, you know, repost it and then type, you know, repost dress and be like, I want to see more of this. You know, show me. I love the, because I love a good 60s dress and I love a good 20s dress.
So obviously people wouldn't know what you have in your stock. So they would just have to be like, I'd love to see more stuff from the 50s, more stuff from the 20s.
And we got it. We have a lot. But I, as I said, I don't really have the costume experience. So I'm learning as you are, like, you know, as I go along.
So you're looking for the feedback. That's
exactly
all.
And I just want to hear people, like, if you want to see a Western wear, I could probably put together Western wear.
I'm sure you got Annie, get your gun somewhere up
Yeah, no, we're actually, tomorrow they're doing a big gala at TDF, and our part of it to help raise money for the whole Theater Development Fund, we're doing a bunch of costumes in the style of Rodgers and Hammerstein shows. So we have a couple Oklahoma, we have a couple Sound of Music, we have a big Sound of Music section someone donated. We have so many copies of the curtain
dresses.
We have three different separate productions, and it's fascinating to see who, you know, what their take is on it. Just the color scheme.
Pattern.
Yeah.
That horrible pattern.
Exactly. And there's many different horrible patterns, at least three that we have. But like, yeah, we're, you know, and that would challenge me to, like, because I pick things that are right off the rack. But like, as you said, Annie Get Your Gun, there's no Annie Get Your Gun look, but you can put it together.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's give you your first one. I think Gina Murray, what would, you know costumes, you know theater.
Yeah.
What's a look that you would like to see Craig post?
Oh, gosh. Oh, my God. Wait, hold on.
And if not, you can always go to the TDF Costume Collection Facebook page.
Well, I will tell you, I would like to see, I'm looking for inspiration from, like, the Valleys of the Dolls type stuff.
Oh, I love a good 60s.
So I would love to see some sort of Valleys of the Dolls costume post.
Okay.
And hashtag Anita Buffum so I will look for it. And, because I'm trying to look for...
I accept your challenge. Okay, I will put it in my notes, and it might not be for a few weeks, but...
That's all right.
I always love, like, a 1940s, like, you know, pin-up girl kind of thing. So maybe in the back of your head, just think of...
Well, I have some...
Did you see something, or inspires you?
I have some great coworkers who are more experienced, and I will give us the challenge, and they love to help me. They love to pull stuff out and be like, photograph this, Greg.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, sure. Yes. Okay, it's done. Because they have good eyes, too.
I love it.
Yeah.
So what can we expect from Keeping Up with the Costumes over the next couple of months? Anything new other than just the normal?
Well, we're starting our summer hours, so we get a little bit slower in business, even though right now we're not that slow. Which allows me more time to go, because I'm always in front of the front desk. No, after the... I spend a lot of time at the front desk, and I really only do this when it's slow.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be, I feel like, some bigger things because now we're getting into that slow
period. And you have to kind of put it together and then photograph it.
A lot of stuff in the last couple of weeks have been, because we're so busy, it's like, this is easy to put on a dress and photograph it, but it's also pretty, that I can do stuff like that and experiment and be like, you know what, here's a giant gown. It weighs 7,000 pounds, and it's a... bitch to get on a mannequin.
The huge train.
But I'm going to, oh my God, this one, I had to put it back. It was the first dress that was too intimidating for me. But I'm going to try and do stuff like that. But I have a couple famous people lined up. I have, you know, I'm back in my 20s mood, because no one ever hates the
20s.
No.
If
you do, you should rethink that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm
doing... Prohibition.
Exactly. And everyone was wearing sequins. I love a good sequins gap.
Yeah.
Because, you know what? It just catches the eye. I love a good beaded gown. So I'm going to go through, and, you know, hopefully this summer we get some new donations and some fancy donations that I can be like, ooh, you know.
I love it.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. This is so fascinating.
It was fascinating.
I had no idea anything like this even existed, so I'm really excited to get into your blog even more.
Thank
and,
you so much.
We love it.
It was my pleasure.
No problem. Good luck with everything and this summer, and we're excited to see what other costumes you turn out.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.